This is the latest we've ever started.
Yeah, this is this might actually be a short show from us.
Yeah, whatever. When does that actually happen? We were recording, like, me just bitching about contractors and trees and old Greek ladies.
We did not get that part recorded. Damn.
Good. But she doesn't even own a computer. So, you know, I can say whatever I want.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's my parents are a step above that. And they
still has a home phone.
They actually got smartphones. I can't believe it. I was shocked.
I can see your dad. I can definitely see your dad doing that.
Oh, no. He doesn't use that nonsense at all. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, he uses it to call, I suppose, and then, you know.
Yeah, he might use it for that every now and again. But, yeah, he's still a landline kind of guy.
Yeah, that was the one surprising thing. She had a landline. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't surprising. It was just like, oh, look, they still have these. You know how much AT&T hates you? Costing them money.
Yeah, I need to actually get rid of mine. So, because we didn't have a cell tower near the house, and we had really shitty reception here for a while until they built a cell tower nearby. So
that's crazy.
That just happened within the 4-year time period that we've lived here. So, and it's probably only been like maybe 2 years that it's been better.
I mean, a city the size of Columbus, and I know you're like a Hana can, you know, technically, but still.
It's because there's a giant park behind our house.
Well, yeah, build in the middle of the park. Who cares?
Yeah, well, and that's exactly what they did.
Oh, really?
It's not really right in the now, middle of the park. Nature, it's near the one adjacent road, actually. To the park. So, but yeah, I mean, it's in the park nonetheless. And that did solve the problem that we were having. It's just like, oh, why do I still have this? I need to get rid of this. Like, it was actually useful for real reasons for us.
Yeah, so. I can't tell you the last time I had one. I really don't.
Yeah, it was it was kind of out of necessity, and it really was just to call parents. Like everyone else, it was when we don't talk to them on a phone anymore.
Yeah.
Or it's just a very rare, like, hey, we need to get this straight because we're meeting, and then we're out, you know, kind of situation.
Oh, man. I guess we should... All right, if we're going to do a short show, I guess we should actually get into wrestling, huh?
I don't care. I mean, if we were just going to run late, we were going to run late.
That's fine with me. The only reason I said that is I just saw that Ishii is out for Forbidden Door.
I did not see that news.
Another person is hurt? Jesus. Like, just pull the plug.
Wrestling is, Chris and I were talking about a little bit, the wrestling has really been wrecked by injuries here this summer. Things have gone awry quickly for, pretty much everyone involved.
Well, I mean, WWE lost what, Cody?
Randy Orton.
Yeah, that's true. I keep forgetting because that was one, like, it just seemed like storyline.
Yes.
And then it turns out to be real.
yeah, like, I kept on going storyline. I'm like, this has been going on for a month. I don't think this is storyline anymore.
Yeah.
It is how my thinking went on that development.
Yeah. And it sucks, too, because that seemed to be the way they were going for SummerSlam, but, yeah. Oh, well, I mean, it's fine. My thing was, like, Randy Orton being out, And the whole thing with Riddle, like he dedicated that match to Roman, to Randy. Roman's beating him, and he's calling out Randy and all this. It makes it seem like, oh, he's gonna come back soon, and then they bring back Brock instead, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, maybe this is real. Then it turns out, yeah, he actually does have that back surgery. Like that sucks because.
Yeah, he's been a consistent on this show, pandemic MVP, that Randy Orton.
Yeah, somehow Randy Orton built up all of that goodwill. Like, he had the feud with Edge. He beat up Beth Phoenix. I mean, gave her an RKO, same thing, the violence on her.
It right.
He beats, like, Edge beats him. He beats Edge and tears Edge's tricep. And then Edge comes back and Randy Orton's getting cheered for some reason. Wait, what? And that's honestly what. Oh my God. I'll tell you later. I can't talk about it on this, but
Okay.
it's just it took me totally out of what I was saying. Oh, so when Edge turned heel, right? He
Yeah.
couldn't. He should have used that.
Oh.
Like, I come back. You're cheering me and all this, and then this man puts me out, and I come back, and you're cheering him. This, the man who, put hands on my wife, did all this, did this, right?
That would have made way more storyline sense for why Edge was pissed off.
Yeah, I mean,
Way more sense.
instead of you guys were making me weak, like get out of here.
Yeah,
That
that was
train of thought
nonsense.
never works.
It was nonsense. He's like, oh, you weren't cheering me. It's just like, no,
Never
dude,
works.
like everyone was cheering you. Like, what the fuck
Yeah.
are you talking about? Like, the whole time. That's why I think it is half good that he got kicked out of his own group.
Even though it makes no sense whatsoever.
Oh,
But.
yeah, they win a match and you get kicked out of the group. Yeah, it doesn't make a lick of sense. Other than, oh shit, we got a couple of huge injuries. We need another baby face. Edge, you're back to being a baby face.
Yeah. And he's supposed to come back and go to the crowd. Hey, sorry, guys. I wasn't my right self. And, this kind of helped me out. It's like, okay. I mean, I guess Edge can do it. He's that talented. Because, well, in the first place, no one wanted to boo Edge anyways.
Yeah, I mean, they were still having problems getting him booed because, yeah, he's a legend that was out for whatever, is it 7 years or something?
Something like that, yeah, right? Well, he retired soon after WrestleMania 27. So, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, that is just a wild time to be out. And, like, how can you boo someone that had to sit out for that long? Like, you kind of know what it means to them that they're back after that time period.
Yeah. I mean, but it's just to go back to the start of this was Randy Orton somehow becamed? Is that a real word? Oh my God. He became this beloved superstar. Which, what? Didn't everybody hate him? Like, all the stories, and admittedly, by his own admission, drug, the substances, drugs, whatever you want to call it, his attitude problem, everything led him, like, his real backstage, real life reputation of being a total jerk. And now it's, well, I'm older. Yeah, I was a dickhead back then. Sorry about that. And yeah, well, it is what it is. And everyone's like, yeah, man, we're behind you now.
That is exactly what it is. And I mean, he has been a good citizen for quite a while at this point. I also think there is definitely a lot of social media stuff in there to get him cheered, I would say
Yeah, when you
too.
find out, like, someone says, I like a stance you don't agree with, And you're like, oh my God. And all of a sudden Randy Orton pipes in and is like, yeah, you're an idiot. Like, wait, what? You think this way too? I would have never imagined from the guy who used to shit in people's bags. So,
that is always a little bit of a shocking phenomenon.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it's a sign of maturity. And
yeah. You know,
and it's always funny when they talk about him and how he doesn't do interviews much. Because there was something, it was when Renee Paquette.
Yeah.
Had her small show on, it was WWE.com or maybe it was a network. She actually had Randy Orton on. And she goes, I can't believe you're actually doing this. And I think he had his wife with him. And he was drinking a beer on there, which was cracking me up because nobody else was ever like drinking or anything. He's like, well, she said I needed to be like, you know, a little more sociable. And, you know, so it got me a beer and I figure I'll drink this while we're doing this. And then he does like the Stone Cold thing later. But that's his like, you know, two veterans. So that's not a big surprise.
Right.
Yeah, but if you think about it, he doesn't really do a whole lot.
No, he is not out there that much. Because yeah. I do think that that's something that I have not paid attention to the Twitter as much. There was quite a time period there where Orton was just showing him having fun with his kids. And it's just like, that was kind of a sign of like, oh, Randy Orton dad guy is also a thing now.
Mm-hmm.
And like RKOing his kids into the pool and things like that, or them RKOing him into the pool. I feel like there was shenanigans like that happening, and it's just like, man, this is really making me change my mind about who Randy Orton is.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, can you, like, because it was, you know, everyone knows the story of how him and his wife met and all that, and can you imagine that, though? Like, your kids are like, I want to go to wrestling, I want to go to wrestling. Your mom sees Randy Orton and goes, oh, he's hot. It's like, hey, calm down, Thirst. We're just here to watch. And then for Randy Orton to go over to her and be like, hey, what's up? And then, I don't know how long it was. I'm just going to go with a few months later, he's your stepdad. Like, what the fuck just happened?
That's... I would say life-changing.
Yeah, it certainly is. So, and then it's always funny hearing the Riddle interviews where he's talking about Randy, and you can't actually tell if he's in character or if he's being himself.
Oh.
And he's always talking about, well, yeah, Randy really, you know, he really took me under the wing, his wing, because, you know, I can kind of shoot my mouth off at times. Randy's like, all right, here's how you handle this. And then I guess he goes, you know, I usually always take his advice. Then I realize Randy doesn't give the best advice. So I get the story was he pissed, like, Riddle pissed Roman Reigns off about something. And Riddle's like, I don't know what to do. So I asked Randy. Randy goes, just text him, hey, bro, sorry I messed up. So I did. And Roman never texted me back. And that's when I knew Randy's not the best at giving advice. And I guess Randy was like, eh, whatever. He didn't text it back. Like, I'm not you. Like, I can't get away with that.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely in different parts of their career, for sure.
Yeah. And Riddle's on the rise, too, which I don't like that he's still called Riddle, but did you get a chance to watch that match Friday?
No, I never ended up watching that.
Dude, it was so good. And I know the announcers were like, I hate when the announcers go, you know, he looked great in defeat, like, because it's always so fake. But man, he looked strong. He just got caught with an error. That's the end.
Oh.
Now, what I didn't like was Omos just wrecking him.
They like, covered it with the whole injury aspect, at least. I'm not a fan of putting him in that position, though.
No, and especially like if the whole point was for Seth to beat him up, then just have Seth attack him after he beats somebody. Or have Seth just attack him during like his not loser speech, but you know, just I did my best, I tried my hardest, didn't work, and then Seth comes out, you're a loser, and beats him up. So I didn't get it. So
yeah,
whatever. But we talked about this a long time ago. I'm sticking to it. It's going to be way better if Riddle turns on Randy Orton. But now it just seems like the cards are going to be for Randy Orton to come back and turn on Riddle.
I think you kind of have that same edge problem at this juncture with Randy Orton.
Yes. Yes.
I just don't see anyone trying to buy a heel turn out of him at this point in his career, you know? Like, it still needs to be Riddle. The problem is they need baby faces, especially to face Roman Reigns. I don't really see Riddle going heel anytime soon because of those reasons. That, I mean, you still have Miz. I guess Kevin Owens is still on the heel side of things. Sami Zayn. It's the baby faces definitely took the hit in the injury department.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how is Kevin Owens, especially after Monday, how is Kevin Owens still not a baby face? Ezekiel is a liar. He's right. How in the hell is Kevin Owens still the bad guy? I mean, I know it's Kevin Owens, so it's easy to boo him, but Jesus, like I got a kick out of the Ezekiel Elias stuff. I was pretty let down too. I thought they were gonna at least slip up and make Kevin Owens go, "See, I told you," and everyone else just go, "We didn't see that."
Oh yeah, everyone else play it off. Yeah. I missed part of that segment watching the hockey game, honestly. But yeah, I ended up seeing it. I'm like, that beard is so fake.
Dude, all right, so the sit down part, the beard didn't look that bad. The in ring stuff, oh my god! I was like, did they do this on purpose?
Like, you could see the string for the beard.
Yes.
I'm like,
well, what was cracking me up was the beard line was different. It was far more kept than it has yet previously because it was kind of like all over the place. But he has no chest hair, and it was bugging the shit out of me. Like, why does Ezekiel? This version of Elias looks so different. That man had hair everywhere.
Yes, he did.
And in everything they're showing, nope, there was nothing. I'm like, oh, that's what it was. You know, the old fur sweater's gone. So, but, yeah, I was just disappointed. I thought it could have been better. So.
I still get me a real kick out of Kevin Owens, so. I don't really care.
Yeah. But also, and I'm being dead serious, how much did you miss Elias? He wasn't a favorite, but when he did like the strum and then the whole crowd goes crazy and then he goes, you know, what does WWE stand for? And the whole crowd chants with him. I'm like, why did we get rid of this gimmick?
Oh, yeah, that's one of those gimmicks that I'm not quite sure why they thought it had run its course.
Yeah, well, they never gave us Just Do either. And remember that 1 month period where he was a heel, face, and then heel within like 4 weeks?
It was pretty awkward. Whatsoever?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he got, like, I remember, like, he got, I still love that moment with, because was that him and Owens getting all the booze in Seattle?
Yes. That is still... They had like the top five Elias moments or something. Or reactions, something like that. And that was on there. And I remember watching that going, oh my god, they are pissed. And Kevin Owens, you can see Ezekiel, or, Jesus Christ. Yeah, same thing, whatever. You can see Elias was about to try and go back into the gimmick, and Kevin Owens just put his hand on his hand, like, no.
Just
let this go. Let this run long. Because what else happened on that show?
Yeah, never going to remember.
How do you know what that show was?
Yep, it was a Raw, I think, and it was still one of the most vociferous booings in recent memory. And then, I think, like, that was his heel phase, and then, like, he was a baby face, like, 2 weeks later. I'm like, how? Because it turned into, like, oh, this is funny, he's roasting our city. It seemed like was the vibe after that.
Yes, actually, that's what it did kind of become, didn't it?
And everyone's like, oh, yeah, do us, do us. And he's just like, huh?
Like, yeah, but you're not going to get that. Like, I'm trying to think of another sports, like another city, to where there's team left and that they would be that, like, angry so many years later. Cleveland got a team back. Baltimore got a team back. I guess Oakland, maybe. He could try it.
Yeah, Oakland, maybe. Even then,
they left twice.
Yeah, I was gonna say, considering that the Raiders have been in LA twice during my lifetime, and then three times in Oakland? ? I think, because they started in Oakland, went to LA, went back to Oakland, LA, then Oakland again before moving to Las Vegas. I think.
No, I think they stayed in Oakland. I think it was Oakland, L.A., Oakland, and then Vegas.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there was another stop through, but just the fact that it's a possibility that that team went from Oakland, L.A., Oakland, L.A., Las Vegas. Like, are you kidding? Like, in the modern times, I understand, like, you know, back before we were born, electricity and refrigeration and that, teams moved all over, but...
Yeah. You know, there was a staying point at some juncture.
Yeah, because, like, Milwaukee, they got the Braves, they lost the Braves and got the Brewers. What? Quebec? The Nordiques leaving.
Okay, here. Yeah, I'm kind of, because first run in Oakland was until 81 for the Raiders. 60 to 81. Oop. I'm trying to get to the, Los Angeles era, 82 to 94.
Okay. Wow, I didn't realize they were there that long.
Yeah. And then I think I just skipped. Yeah, but I think it was just back to Oakland then.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, you're right. Second Oakland era, 95 to 2019. I buzzed past it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
There were 24 years, Jesus. All right.
Yeah, I thought that there was an extra bounce back in there, but I was incorrect. But yeah, I mean, when you've lost the team twice, like, within our lifetime, you know, I don't know. Are you going to be as pissed as Seattle? Because did Seattle get a basketball team back?
No, they still don't have a basketball team there. Okay. They got hockey instead. Which, you know, to me is better, but whatever.
I got a Kraken hat for Christmas. I was pretty pumped about that.
It's a cool name. I like that one.
Yep.
I just thought of St. Louis. They lost a football team twice.
Yes.
Two different owners.
That was kind of wild. Because didn't this second one wanted a new stadium after the stadium was only like 5 years old or something?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe not 5 years, but it was definitely a very short amount of time.
It was like 10 max. Like, I'm like, dude, like, that's new. Like, get out of here.
Yeah, that's.
Although some of those places did get stuck in that they just built, and then everyone starts going, "Oh, let's make stadiums cool." And it's just like, oh. Had a bad era of stadiums.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
But I don't know how
there's.
bad that place was, honest, the one in St. Louis that they were trying to get out of. But anywho.
I think it's still there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, because WWE was going to run an event there, I thought. Or did.
Pretty sure they did.
Yeah. All right, it's just one of the stadiums that we got off track, but can you believe the Houston Astrodome is still there?
Oh, I didn't realize that they did not destroy that, huh?
Oh, it's right next door to Reliant.
Oh, ain't that cool?
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sure there's a reason. Not that I'm going to look up.
Yeah,
But,
I mean,
huh?
Three Rivers got the bomb, so I am never going back to the childhood stadium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, well, Tiger Stadium's finally gone. They moved out of there and kept it around for like 10 more years. Like, just tear the goddamn thing down. I don't know why you should have never moved in the first place, but if you're going to move, take it down. It's just silly.
Yeah, that is kind of wild.
Yeah, just more blight in a city that doesn't need it. But, so anyways, I don't even know what the hell how we even got there.
Randy Orton injuries and
Oh, Elias getting a pop, like,
and
or a kind
Elias,
of reaction, like Seattle.
yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's how we got off track. So yeah, Elias shouldn't have not been a gimmick like that. Even when they did those, because they're like, oh, they had Elias burning his guitar and whatever else, and then they stopped doing those segments, and then he just, for whatever reason, ends up getting like another 6 months off. And then the WWE brings him back is Ezekiel.
Yeah, I mean, there's the classic McMahon story. Creative tells him to cut his hair. He cuts his hair. McMahon goes, "Who told you to cut your hair?" He goes, "Your creative did. They got something for him." He goes, "I didn't tell you to cut your hair." And he doesn't show up for another 4 or 5 months. I'm like, I mean, I know we already talked about this, but like, your creative's the one that told me. Like, don't get mad at me because your guys. Anyways. Which, by the way,
Yeah.
did you and Chris talk about how Vince McMahon's going to skate scot-free on this?
Well, we did already, and then Chris and I were both in agreement. Well, since you and I agreed that he's getting off free, he seems to have done nothing nefarious or anything that requires jail time. Is what it comes down to.
Yeah, he didn't break the law.
Nope.
Like, morally or ethically, sure, it's kind of messy, but.
Yep. That's between him and the missus. I'm
Okay,
sure.
see, but even in, all right, even in this case, now, of course, I'm allowed to go, "Oh, I didn't know that." But if it comes out that, yeah, he was sexually harassing her or was pushing himself on her, and he got caught doing that, and he gave her $3 million not to tell anybody, right?
Yeah.
But if don't know what she's listening to in the background, but I can actually hear it through the door closed. Okay. Anyways, but if they find out that all this was he was banging out a secretary or whatever she was,
Yeah.
it was consensual. And he's like, "Hey, don't tell anyone. This is me. It's kind of an embarrassing thing because I am married, and just here, you know." One, she had to accept this offer. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's rewind all the way to the beginning. She knows he's married. So right there, like, okay, I don't have a lot of sympathy for you. I mean, obviously, this isn't
Right.
knowing the details, but it's like this is a consensual thing. You know the situation, you know the man, and you're coming out of this with $3 million? Like, shut the fuck up. It's kind of like I told you last time. The friend's the one that's messing this up, not her.
Yeah, because she usually when you make that type of agreement, you agree not to say anything.
Yeah. Okay. Look.
So, yeah, I don't think she's the one caught. I think she's going, hey, this is a cool $4 million. I'm good. I mean, yeah, even if she, like, if she still has a good job as a, I believe I saw paralegal, I'm sure that she can, you know, she can afford just about anything at this point if she wants to.
And so far, this woman is skating scot-free. Not all right. I'll say it like this. Not that there's anything to be ashamed of. Listen, if you or I sleep with somebody that's married, a female that's married, or whatever, and they have the power, like, they wanted you, you wanted them, you have some fun, and then he's like, hey, we got to stop doing this. And then who knows, maybe she was like, I'm going to tell somebody, all right, here's $3 million. I'll shut her up. You'll never know. So I think this woman's actually a very good egg outside of the ethical or moral part of it. She's kept her goddamn mouth shut.
Yeah, it's not her problem. Yeah.
What a gamer. So, okay, but I guess my point is, if she has no problem with it, he had no problem with it. It was handled judiciously, not judiciously, legally, with payments, all this, contracts, whatever else. What are we doing?
I got no idea.
The only weird part of it is that she was passed like a toy to John Laurinaitis. That's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, that is definitely the strangest part of this whole story. Like, I don't know why you agree to that part at all. Vince is weird and creepy enough as it is. John Laurinaitis is even older and creepier.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, I've seen Total Divas or Bella's, whatever show he was on. Oh, what? Because he's married to the Bella's mom now. She's going to be like, wait, what? But I also, me being me, I'm like, wait a minute, were Vince and John, like, tag teaming this chick? I mean, again, consenting adults, who cares?
Yeah, you're allowed to do what you want to do.
But it's just an odd phrase to me. Passed like a toy to John Laurinaitis. So, yeah.
Yep.
But I'm lost on this whole thing. So, and then also, I love that he's just coming out and bragging on TV. That's all these are. Comes out on SmackDown. Then now forever and together. Here's Friday Night SmackDown and leaves. Just and then Monday Night comes out. Here Monday Night Raw, blah blah blah. Leaves.
Yeah, he just absolutely comes out. There, it's going to be the summer of Cena again, and just walks back out.
Yeah. Like what? All and I guess these the last few episodes of NXT have been recorded, so this will be the first new one, possibly live this week. It'd be hilarious if he showed up. Because then it literally is just him going, you can't do anything. I own 58% of this company. I'm never being taken out of here.
Yeah. Yep, I mean, it definitely feels like more of a fuck you tour than a farewell tour, in my opinion.
It's like, ooh, you replaced me on the board with my daughter for right now? Oh, my daughter, by the way. Ooh.
Yeah, Heaven's I mean, that's the only problem. Might be ruffling a few family feathers with these shenanigans.
Well, I was reading, and I actually went back and watched it. So, did you ever watch the McMahon interview with Pat McAfee?
No.
All right. He said during an angle that, I think it was the Trish Stratus one, possibly, where he referred to Linda during the interview. He referred to Linda as his wife at the time, and then corrected himself like, "Well, my wife." You don't do that when you're married. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yeah, so, it would be shocking to me if this is the first of such occasions. And I guess that's maybe the only other thing that could be uncovered if they end up finding multiple times. I don't know. I'm trying to think if, could they Bob Weinstein him?
Bob Weinstein did a lot. No, Harvey Weinstein.
They're Harvey.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Like,
there's a Bob, too.
Yeah, but get him for, maybe an earlier crime than not the present one.
Yeah, I mean, this can lead to that, but it doesn't so far. It doesn't sound like it.
It's been pretty quiet here to in the last week. Because, the allegations came out when we were recording last week. So, a whole week, and they're really... I haven't seen anything out there.
And they said, like, the WWE stock was down 10% today. Well, big deal. Okay, so it's down 10. By the end of summer, it's back up 20. So it's... If there's, like, a consistency to where it's dropping 10% every week or every month, then sure. But 10% a day is nothing. My 401k... looked abysmal when they had that market run, and now it's almost back to normal again.
Yep, that's the way that kind of works.
Mm-hmm. It's like it didn't affect me at the time because obviously I'm not withdrawing my money, but I do understand the people,
Yeah, people freak out way too easily.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially getting retirement age, so I totally understand that.
Timing can, suck sometimes.
It's not indicative of anything. So, it's just, I don't know. It's like everyone can run around with their heads cut off. Shake them with their head cut off? Yeah.
Yep.
But, I get such a kick out of people in power that just act arrogant. I know it's bad. I do know it's bad. But it just kind of tickles me. So, seeing this guy just do that for no reason other than he can't just come out and say fuck you.
He was on TV for the initial Theory skits. And Theory's been his, pet project without Vince for 3 months at least at this point. Like, Vince really hasn't been on TV that much in the recent past. Like, I feel like his appearances have been a little more frequent in the last year than they had been maybe the previous couple of years. But yeah, he didn't really show up very much. That's the other reason why it just feels that way. He hasn't been on consecutive shows in a very long time.
No. Well, I think the whole Austin Theory thing, it was just to get him noticed and get people thinking, oh, this guy's... Alright. Let's try and take this guy seriously.
Yeah.
And now people do, and they're outside of this posed-down nonsense, like, him just acting arrogant and all that stuff's pretty great.
I think that they've, figured out a character for him at this point, even though it seems like that was kind of his character the way you've described it before anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, shocking. But, yeah, like, and these pose-down things, like, wrestling's half homoerotic as it is. And so is bodybuilding.
Yeah, that's so more three quarters.
Yeah, yeah. So when you can... That's very true. But when you miss the two, well, there goes my math, so thanks. But...
Yeah, when you mix the two, it makes it about two-thirds.
Doesn't it just make it erotic, like homoerotic? Not sort of. It just is.
It's a little... Yeah, it's just like, okay, great, but these guys are ripped. Like, I'm like, okay.
Okay. So? But, yeah, it's just weird. It's weird, it's dated, and no one in the audience cares. They just don't like Austin Theory, and they like Bobby Lashley. So they could be doing a knitting contest right now, and people would still say Bobby was better. So.
I wonder if either of them can knit.
They're pretty cool. Knitting seems so boring, though. My God. Anytime you've seen a knitted blanket, it's always the same ugly shit, too. It doesn't even matter what the colors are. You're like, there's a bunch of holes in this thing.
They can be only pretty comfortable.
Only older people will get one, so never mind. That was for me.
I don't think we have any knitted blankets currently, but that used to be a thing. I guess I'm used to it.
I grew up in Polish households, dude. They're everywhere. You want a napkin? It's knitted with holes in it. Like, holy shit. What is this? How is this supposed to protect my clothes from anything? It's made out of yarn with holes in it. That's going to be a sloppy mess no matter what I do with it. So, God, I forgot all about that stuff. Knitted coasters, knitted hats, knitted socks, obviously. Just knitted everything. Knitted koozies. Before you even knew what a koozie was.
Oh.
Well, Plug family had a ton of them. Holy shit. So Adam Cole's skinny and out of shape. How about that? In the opposite spectrum. I mean, you saw that hubbub about Jim Cornette getting on his case?
No, I did not. Of course.
I just said Jim Cornette got on his case. So, of course... Everyone's going to get up in arms over something Jim Cornette said, which, of course, feeds into what Jim Cornette wants.
Yeah. Cornette does a good job of keeping himself relevant on the interwebs. That is for sure.
Yeah. The sad part about him is he is a very smart individual for wrestling. But he talks about angles and what he did, what he's read, what he's seen. You're like, oh my God, he really knows a lot. And then he gets on these tangents, and it's like, man, it's not necessary. Now, I'm sure he believes it, but I don't know. But no, he's because, like, the reports are Adam Cole's hurt. And then he said, he's like, well, yeah, because he's skin and bones, and he's fragile now. He looks like a lump of something. I don't even remember what. And, of course, all the wrestlers came out, oh, how dare you body shame? How dare you do this? And I went, to me, he's got a point. Like, I don't know if Adam Cole's hurt or sick, but from the time he showed up in NXT to now, he defied NXT logic. Everyone in NXT got in better shape. And he went the opposite way.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was getting pretty soft before he left the WWE. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, like you said, like, even if they didn't, like, Johnny Gargano, I didn't feel like he ever really tried to add any bulk. Like, I think the easiest one to call out recently is they said to Montez Ford, hey... If you ever really want a singles push, you need to add about 10 or 15 pounds of muscle. So he's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, goes to the gym on Tuesday, comes back Monday. He's like, 15, right? I'm like, holy shit, where'd that come from? That's genuine jealousy. They're like, wow, that man just put that much. He looks great.
Yeah. I think it is one of those, he's kind of deceptively tall. Like, he's not tall, but he's still like 6'2 or 6'3, something like that. Like, he's kind of tall. And, his frame can at least handle that, I think, because he is a little bit on the taller side. And, yeah, he looks fantastic. But, yeah, Adam Cole, and I guess that's what I was saying about the body types. Like, Montez Ford has the body type to add on. Johnny Gargano and really even Tommaso Ciampa were the same way, where they're just like, oh, F it. We're just going to be, like, in the best shape we can be at our weight class.
Yes.
And they just got shredded.
If Adam Cole got the shred going, I think everything would be fine. But I see, like, old footage of him, and he was much bigger. Like, in a muscular way, but obviously in a, like, I'm putting, like I did for my competitions.
Yeah.
Just put a bunch of weight on to put so it adds muscle. That's what it seemed like he was doing way back. And then, a good example of the NXT thing is Roderick Strong, who was never in bad shape. But when he got the NXT, my God. He's gotten better and better, like body physique and that. So.
Yeah, everyone always talked about him being a, because I remember making fun of him in ROH. We're like, oh, he has the best motor. Like, he has cardio for days. They had that gimmick for him a long-ass time ago. And I'm always like, dude looks way soft for being a cardio machine here, guys.
Yes.
But then occasionally he'd get kind of in good shape. But then he'd lose it again, too, in my opinion. And then when he got to WWE, it's just been on since then. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, he's been in the same good shape ever since. So, good on him.
Yeah. But no, I don't like... One, I don't know why wrestlers are so thin-skinned now. But, I mean, telling somebody, look, you don't look good.
Oh.
Like... an Adam Cole Samoa Joe match. I know they just had one, but Joe looked like a totally different human being, like a species, than Adam Cole did. And I know Cole won, and that's fine, but after a while, there is a disbelief that I'm not going to be able to suspend. And this is as an Adam Cole fan as well.
Yeah, I mean, he really... Yeah, his run has been unmemorable at best. Like, that was kind of tough. Like, that might have been the worst part of the promo, just with him and Jay White. Jay White's, hey, you lost to that guy twice.
Yeah. And then somebody backstage goes, oh, don't worry about it. Put him in a four-way. Wait, what? Why? I mean, he's right. But... yeah, whatever. The Forbidden Door pay-per-view, I don't know.
Chris and I did talk about this a little bit, but since AEW has aired between then and now, they didn't do anything to change my opinion about not buying this pay-per-view.
Yeah, I didn't have much interest to begin with, and I really don't now. I mean, I just don't. So, Moxley, Tanahashi, whatever.
Yep, you can see the ending coming for that one. There's a couple of just multi-person matches with a bunch of, name salad going on. Because I forget how many people are involved in the Chris Jericho match, 10 or something?
Oh, God. No, there's only...
Or is it just a six-person match?
Just a six-person match.
Okay, I just feel like there's a lot of a lot of multi-person matches.
Yeah, like just to have people on the show. Like, they don't make any sense.
Yeah, because I'm trying to pull up what the list of matches is supposed to be here. It's a stacked card. Oh yeah, because I guess I didn't realize that was. Oh, they are actually doing a four-way match. I suppose that was the only positive thing to come out of this whole situation was the fact that Okada is in fact showing up at Forbidden Door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess people thought he wasn't going to be on it, and I was like, I'm pretty sure there's no chance he wasn't. I don't know. I wasn't one of that bought into the fact he wasn't going to be on it. So it was cool. Like, okay, here's the problem, though.
Okay, yeah, there's... Oh, no, I guess there's only two multi-person matches, and, but, yeah, there's a lot going on here.
Well, you've got, like, the Bullet Club.
Yeah, Bullet Club people. Versus dudes with attitudes.
Dude.
So awful, I had to say it.
I didn't see the graphic. Elise pointed it out. She goes, she did. She said this. She goes, dudes with attitudes? I was like, what? I look at the TV, so I was like, fucking Sting.
Oh. Yeah, what an awful choice of names. I do like how even WrestlingNews.co is so disgusted with that name that they have not put it on their write-up.
It's terrible. Like, is that something, and I'm being dead serious, I don't know a lot about New Japan Japanese wrestling. I know who I know, I like what I like watching. Is that something, like, over there, they'd be like, hell yes. Like, dudes with attitudes? Damn right. Like, what? Because over here, it's like, you guys are goofy as hell. Are you children?
Well, just the fact that Sting's still hanging around and we're supposed to pretend he's threatening is still embarrassing. And everyone, the chance you still got it, you can... I'm okay with you not being my friend.
Yeah, so what? Don't got my attention, that's for sure.
So. Oh, man. So, yeah, that match is a whatever. I feel like they were trying to draw you in with Bryan Danielson's mystery opponent for Zack Sabre Jr. Don't care.
It's either Claudio or Jonathan Gresham. Jonathan Gresham makes more sense because he's the Ring of Honor champion.
Yeah. Both of them would make a great deal of sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Zack Sabre Jr. has ever fought Jonathan Gresham before, but listen, Gresham's so short, it's very hard. It's very hard, but he's really good.
Oh, well, and he's a guy that he put on a little too much weight for his height. Like, he got so yoked, I'm like, oh, dude. Like, you and Jordan need to lay off the gas here.
Yeah, Jordan's not a small woman either, but she's not a big woman.
Oh, right.
Like, I'm not criticizing her either, because...
No. Neither, both of them are in fantastic shape, but it seems like he's maybe gotten a little too big, in my opinion, where it's probably hurt his wrestling a little bit.
I can't say I've seen a Jonathan Gresham match in a while, though, so I can't say yes or no.
Yeah, I mean, I watched Ring of Honor till the end. So I know I've watched some pretty recent matches here, because I finished out the series I did not watch when they went into, like, best of mode. I just erased all those off the DVR. I'm like, nah, that's okay. I don't need this.
Yeah. I think I lost all mine when we returned the cable box anyways, so.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing Jonathan Gresham when he was first coming up, and I'm like, this guy's good, but, I mean, my friend Frazier is not exactly tall. He was taller than Jonathan Gresham.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this guy's not going anywhere. Like, sorry. And then, no. The hell with me. I'm wrong. So, making a nice career out of himself. Good for him.
Yeah, in the Chris Jericho matches, Jericho, Guevara, Minoru Suzuki versus Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Yuta, and Shota Umino. Yep. Winner takes all ROH and IWGP Tag Team Championship match. FTR versus United Empire, the Great Okan and Jeff Cobb, the IWGP champions, and we're throwing in Roppongi Vice because we need them to be on the show.
Is Chuck Taylor hurt, by the way?
He must be. He has not been on TV in quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, Rocky Romero comes around, and boom, it's Roppongi Vice. Orange Cassidy's back. There's still no Chuck Taylor. And it's like, they haven't even mentioned Friends. Like, well, what's going on here?
Yeah, I guess Wheeler Yuta leaving really wrecked them.
Yeah, it's just very strange to me. Like, just all of a sudden, he's just gone. So.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he's another guy that's on the old we're not going to renew his contract list.
Oh, well. I don't know. I like Chuck Taylor. The Friends had some pretty good matches and pretty good fun with AEW. So it'd be kind of weird to just have him let him go. But
I agree.
Not eventually. My God.
Yep. Next up, AEW Women's World Championship, Thunder Rosa versus Toni Storm. Kind of an awkward position here that we're in, I suppose. I wouldn't mind Toni Storm winning. That puts Thunder Rosa's reign in real jeopardy of being a really big dud.
Yeah, and I guess we'll find out if
she's really,
if, like, the rumors of her being disgruntled and wanting out are true or not.
Because
it'd be pretty awful for her to lose already. But then Toni Storm, I don't know, shouldn't have, like, a huge amount of momentum behind her. At least it doesn't seem to me like she does when she should.
Yeah, I she got the win over Britt Baker recently. What was it? 2 weeks ago, I want to say. So that is a big milestone, since there's, well, no one else to beat in AEW, honestly. Because Hikaru Shida has been buried somewhere ever since her title reign.
When she lost the title, she still had the Serena Deeb for a while.
I think she disappeared, then came back for the Serena D feud, and then disappeared again.
Yeah, she's probably on Dark.
Yeah, I feel like maybe the occasional pop into Twitter, I've seen something about her being on, a place that I'm not going to watch wrestling. So... Yeah, like, they don't really have a whole lot of people for you to beat. So if you're getting a win over Britt Baker, I would think that you're in store for something. But who knows? Like, I agree with you. Because Toni lost kind of right off the bat to Britt Baker. Because didn't she get, like, a title chance, like, 2 weeks after getting there or something wild like that?
I think so.
And lost to Britt Baker? I feel like there was shenanigans involved, but still, it's just like, yeah, she did not get off to a good start, and it hasn't really been a whole lot of time. And yeah, it's a weird position for Toni Storm to be in too, because I'm with you. She doesn't really have a whole lot of she has some momentum because the Baker win. It doesn't feel sustained though.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out why is Nyla Rose with Marina Shafir?
I don't know.
That was so weird. Like, did I miss something? But
I mean, yeah, Marina Shafir. That one's just tough. They've already used up her. She's tough. And she's a former MMA person. When you lose your first, like, four matches on TV, you're kind of dead in the water.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why they had the whole Thunder Rosa, Marina Shafir match. I'm like, why?
Yeah. There are other people that Thunder Rosa could have beaten on that roster that are not named Marina Shafir, and it would have been just fine.
Yeah, and they were making a big deal of Jay Cargill and Marina Shafir, and I'm like, okay, and just nothing. I don't get it. I'm not saying she's bad. I don't understand Nyla Rose and her together, and I don't understand why they keep throwing Marina Shafir out there.
Like, got no answers.
So. Yeah. Yeah, you did, so.
IWGP, United States Heavyweight Championship, Will Ospreay, Orange Cassidy. Should be a fun match. I'm not getting the pay-per-view because of that.
No, okay, so these matches, I'm sure if I was a bigger New Japan fan, some of this would be like, oh my god, I gotta see this. Now, this one, though, like Ospreay and Orange Cassidy, seems like it'd be pretty cool. Like, did to kind of get off of this, I guess, but also I don't think we've ever talked about it. The last Ric Flair match, that show. Seen who they've signed for, like, undercard matches for this thing?
Are they loading up?
Yeah.
Is it Coco Beware on the undercard?
No.
Tito Santana.
I wish. The American Wolves are going to face the Motor City Machine Guns. That's never happened before, apparently.
Interesting.
Yeah, and then it may not hit too hard with you, but Jacob Fatu and, oh my god, I just lost it. Hang on.
You didn't have it actually in front of you. You just had it in your brain,
no,
and it left your brain.
The wrong button. God damn it. Hang on. A really good match, though. And, like, one, I was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The little I've seen of Jacob Fatu, I've liked.
He's awesome.
But, yeah, I just haven't seen enough.
He would never work in WWE.
I keep on laughing that the Uso chants during the Solo Sikoa matches. One of the few things that makes me believe that is not a robot crowd.
Well,
one of the few things.
What surprised me about that is they actually were going to team him up in the Bloodline. And then they decided not to, and he said, no, I'd rather do this. I'd rather, like, you know, do the whole make my own name sort of thing. I was like, oh, well, I guess we need to shut up then. So,
yeah, well, he looks too much like a brother to not make the connection. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Look, sound, you know.
Body type, tattoos.
Oh, do you want a spoiler for NXT UK, by the way?
Sure, I'm not going to watch it.
Jensen and Briggs. Won the NXT UK tag team titles.
Good for them.
Oh, that's it. It's Josh Alexander versus Jacob Fatu.
Oh.
that match is going to be awesome.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun one.
And, like, I don't know, and I get this, the only reason I brought it up was that's where I was saying that maybe I'm not that big of a New Japan fan, that I would much rather see those two matches than anything that's on that card.
Oh.
Because these are the people I follow and know more so than, you know.
The New Japan
I know
who
Okada is. I know Tanahashi, Naito, all this. I know these guys. I've seen their matches. But they don't resonate with me the way like a Jacob Fatu does. And I know how dumb that sounds.
Yeah, it's been a few years now since I've watched New Japan at this point. Like, I want to say it's at least been a year and a half because I gave up my subscription long after I'd stopped watching, honestly. But yeah, I just wasn't... The moment AEW came around, I was kind of getting my wrestling fill. And New Japan was not necessary. And this is definitely something Chris and I have talked about. There hasn't been any fresh blood over there, really. The time period that I stopped watching last 2 years or so, there has been no one really new. Like, you could say that Jay White has probably been cementing his main event status in that time period, which would be fine. He still had won the world championship before I tuned out. Yeah. And I mean, I didn't necessarily tune out because of him winning it, because I do like him.
Well, the pandemic sure did not help.
Yeah, but that was still the craziest thing. I forgot that they were the first ones to come back and have a crowd. Like, they completely shut down, which was different than, you know, they didn't ever end up, I don't think they did empty house shows or anything like that, but they did have crowds come back masked and spaced.
Yeah, and they weren't allowed to cheer or clap, right?
I don't know about that part. I mean, the crowds are always more traditionally quiet there anyway. I'm not sure I'd necessarily tell the difference. So, yeah. But they did get crowds back first, which is kind of a strange thing. Like, yeah, they've kind of had more time in front of a crowd. They still haven't done anything really new. Like, yeah, I mean, because I don't remember that time period when I started, or, you know, how long I had New Japan as a service. But that's at least 5 years ago. Because I guess that would make sense to check to see how long Nakamura has been in the U.S.,
we saw his like NXT debut match. He was there for that one.
Correct.
That was Dallas. That was great. God damn, what a great show that was, too.
Yeah, he was Super Junior until 2005. And what? Oh, for crying out loud. Where's the WWE? NXT 2016, 2017. So, yeah, like, I know that I was watching New Japan before 2016 then, and essentially Jay White is the only new main guy, new main event guy in that time period.
Because, I mean, we've even talked about, like, what happened to Juice Robinson.
I have no idea.
And he disappears, and then comes back and joins Bullet Club. Like... This guy was supposed to be on top eventually. The way his career was going over there,
yeah,
he seemed like he was destined for the top, and then it just crashed out. And now he just comes back as he joins Bullet Club. Like, it just seems to be like when they don't know what to do with somebody, just have him join Bullet Club, come back. What? So.
Yeah, I'm with you. That it does not help the Forbidden Door thing. Like, other people might be more excited about this. And I don't know if there's anywhere that I would be excited about people. Like, I guess I'm at this point, I'm not even watching an MLW type of product in my viewing time. Because I haven't gotten...
Well, I mean, it's easy for me, so...
I really haven't even gotten a chance to watch AIW all that much recently. It's actually more of a consideration to actually go to one of those shows than to watch it. They're on a weekend, and it would be easier to manage.
Well, I think it's pretty telling that New Japan, though, like to go to like how it faded. The first time they came here, tickets sold out in 5 minutes. They're coming back here next month, and there are still tickets available. And this is with the actual Japanese talent.
Oh.
Because they must have gotten the visa issues cleared up.
That was so stupid that first time.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They were trying to blame it on Trump. No. You know you're doing this months ahead of time. Don't try and get a visa a month ahead and go, oh, Trump says you can't do it. Listen, that guy did a lot of stuff. That's not one of them. That's on you guys, so just stop.
Yeah, that was some bureaucrat that was holding your shit up.
Yeah.
It wasn't anyone that high on that high of an office.
Real quick, it's the year 2022, right?
Yep.
Why the fuck are we having an Elvis movie coming out?
Was a curious choice to me.
What? We know Elvis wasn't this great guy. We know he wasn't. It's documented. And this fantasy-looking stuff to where they're like, oh, God, I'm the king and all this stuff, and then Tom Hanks in a, you know, in a fat suit, whatever else. He's like, I'm the real villain behind Elvis Presley. He's like, no, what?
Oh, is that what the storyline is?
So basically, I guess he plays his manager, which I always thought was the colonel.
Yeah.
But he doesn't play the colonel. He plays somebody else, I think. I don't know. It's just the idea that there's an Elvis movie 2022, a big budget one as well. The first time I saw it, I was like, what is this?
I guess I wouldn't be surprised if it's more of a Netflix-y thing. That's the surprising part, is the big budget movie part to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Baz Luhrmann film, Heat, and it's a Hollywood movie. I mean, it's not some indie made on like $2 million. It's like a $100 million project. Like, okay, and you know it's not going to be good, by the way, because at the Cannes Film Festival they gave it like a 20-minute standing ovation. If that doesn't yell self-indulgent nonsense, then I don't know what does. So. Anyways, the preview just played on TV, and I don't think even when you were here, I don't think I forgot to even mention it, but it just bothers me.
Yeah, I'm like, whatever, another movie I'm not going to watch.
Yeah, exactly.
Keep on moving. Yeah, I don't know. Do you want to talk about any NXT before getting out of this? I think we've covered AEW New Japan quite enough at this point.
I have to begrudgingly say, well, in one case, not begrudgingly, the other one, it is. Wesley, like him cutting that promo, that was really good. Whether it's fake or not, or written for him, whatever, however you want to say it, it's really good, man.
Yeah.
But it also seems like they're bringing Nash Carter back. Because I don't think, who is their partner in TNA? Trey Miguel. I don't think Trey Miguel is coming to NXT anytime soon.
Yeah. Oh.
So. That was really good. The show wasn't bad. It's just whatever. It really is just whatever.
The one that's. I think we've talked about her before. I got a good laugh out of Tiffany Stratton's. You know, whatever you want to call that, backstage segment, recorded segment type of situation going on, that killed me. this week.
Yeah, I kind of like her character. It just it's good.
Yeah, she's the bitchy rich girl, and it's really starting to work pretty well for her.
The next one, though, the begrudging one. The gimmick sucks. I'm sorry. I'm never going to like this. It's not going to work on the main roster either, so it doesn't matter. Tony D'Angelo's getting to be pretty good. I think we complain about his gimmick so much, I don't think we've given him the proper due of how improved in the ring this man is.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's been pretty solid for a while now. He's had a lot of good people to wrestle recently, which doesn't hurt. Uh-huh. I also think that it's that situation where we've been talking about NXT being more of an indie now. I think these guys are finally getting some experience under their belts and things are moving in the direction they think they were going to. You know what I mean? Like, Tony D'Angelo has been featured for almost an entire year now. Like, among other people. You know, he's... And I was going to say, thank God. The whole two families in one. They painted themselves into a corner. And I'm glad they're just like, okay, this isn't working. Fuck it. Let's blow it up.
Yeah, I think that's for the best, too. Especially since two Dimes is gone.
Yeah, I had forgotten that it was 2 weeks of recorded shows. And I'm like, holy fuck, he's on again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, didn't you get fired like 2 weeks ago? Were you Milton from The Office? You're just gonna keep showing or Office Mate? You're just gonna keep showing up?
I need my stapler.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean he'll be gone next week, but it'd be funny if they try to like write him out. Write him out. He didn't do anything wrong.
It's going to be hilarious when they replace him with Nickel. Ugh.
Wait, you get what? Tony Two Dimes and then Double Stack? Or what's the other guy's name? Stacks?
Yeah, Stacks.
Yeah, because that's Nickel Stacks. So, yeah, they already got Nickels.
Oh. So. Okie doke. We got to get a Penny reference in there then.
Yeah, well.
We're going to call him Copper.
Oh, and the one, I guess they can get rid of him because he was the one standing next to Santos Escobar.
Oh.
And he didn't, like, stop him or attack him or something. So, like, I got rid of his ass.
That's an easy, easy sell, I suppose.
Yeah, I actually really liked the camera angles at the end of that match, too. You knew he wasn't going to give him the brass knucks. And they didn't go, like, they didn't cut back and forth in between the two like they would if it was a chair, like chairs or something. They kept it on the two of them staring at each other. Escobar just slides it. You can tell it's not to him. You can tell it's off to the side. And then Carmelo's got it, hits him. And then they would switch cameras between the people. And Escobar's just staring at him. And Escobar's looking at Carmelo. Carmelo, like, nods and winks at him, like, I gotcha. And then Escobar goes back to staring at D'Angelo, and then Hayes is on the ring, and I'm like, this is actually kind of good. And again, I get so caught up in how shitty their gimmick is, I kind of forget, you know, some good things can come of these. So
yeah, because what was that? There was one of the suplexes in there that I was just like, oh, man. Like, I feel like D'Angelo uses those in some of his matches, but he kind of busted out, and I felt like an extra funky one or an extra special one in this matchup with Carmelo Hayes that really popped me. I can't remember exactly what it was.
There was like a suplex or a backbreaker spot where the person never put the other person down. Maybe it was this match. Like, they had some, like, caught, like, he caught him or did something and then moved him over to a suplex and was like, oh my God, how strong are you?
I mean, he is a big boy.
Yeah. Well, he's also a former collegiate wrestler. So it really shouldn't surprise me that he's getting better in the ring. All these collegiate guys seem to work out fairly well.
Yes. So, yeah, because the Creeds are doing pretty well for themselves, too.
Well, I mean, Shelton Benjamin, Brock, obviously, Kurt, of course. They finally allowed Gable to do his thing. Otis was another collegiate wrestler.
Yeah.
So it's like all the collegiate guys seem to do fairly well. Yeah, so maybe there's something to them. And D'Angelo could be just another guy to follow in that line. And hopefully they don't call him Tony D on the main roster. Tony D's stupid. Tony D'Angelo's fine. Just get rid of everything else.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
But, yeah, well, we'll see about NXT because Triple H is back. So,
yeah, that's what the kids are saying these days.
Yeah. We'll see what that means.
But. Yeah. Oh, man. Okay, well, I think that wraps up NXT nicely.
Yeah. We're all over the place. That's good.
Belt time.
We actually covered all the shows, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Little bit Dash of Raw, AEW, Dash of NXT.
Yeah, not bad. We didn't cover Rampage, but apparently no one else did either, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I haven't watched that in quite a few weeks at this point. They had that effed up schedule, and that really threw me off rhythm from watching that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, Bell Time Beer on my end, a place that I need to go back to. Dankhouse Brewing is about a half hour down the road. They make some very delicious beers. This one happens to be fruit rolled up rhubarb pie version. Sour ale with strawberry, rhubarb, and banana, 6% alcohol. Very tasty. Yeah, sour beer. I love rhubarb. I love strawberry. I like bananas. So, what's there not to like?
Those strawberry rhubarb ciders?
I do not think I had the strawberry rhubarb cider.
Oh, well, you're not getting one then because we drank them all. So, tough shit. mine's a blackberry crumble from Red Clay. So, old standard. I just grabbed one. It's good. You should get some if you're in Charlotte. So, which I forgot. We didn't go there. I totally forgot.
Yeah. And I thought that we might actually talk more beer on this show because of that trip. But, hey, we can save that for another time. We've gone long enough here.
Yeah. Let's go.
At DeFrang11, at Granny Maze, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.